Okay, today I want to talk to you about remedy of havingness. Now, you think there's a lot to know about this subject. There is. But you fortunate people, there is something to know about the remedy of havingness. And to know about knowingness that I'm going to let you in on. I want to talk to you about the remedy of havingness from the standpoint of the no down through sex to mystery scale. Now, that is a peculiar way to talk about the remedy of havingness, isn't it? But actually, in Dianetics, the highest common denominator with which we worked was survival. In Scientology, I discovered the highest common denominator with which you could work was knowingness. When you break down knowingness, categorize it, you get the know to mystery scale. In other words, knowingness becomes solid. It becomes first solid enough to look at. Next, solid enough in terms of emotion to be emotional about. Next, as we go down the scale, it becomes very, very solid and becomes effort. After that, an individual begins to worry. And he gets into thinkingness. About what? About this chunks of effort and flows. And when he starts thinking, that's practically the end of him, because he realizes then that he can't survive, which he can't do anything else but. So, of course, he gets into eating. From eating, he realizes that doesn't really put him up the track very far, so he gets into sex. And by that time, it's all become a mystery. Now, as we look these things over, we find out that this wasn't a scale that Ron dreamed up in a loose moment. We find out it was a scale Ron dreamed up, and then it happens to be confirmed by preclears. You'll find them going through this mystery to no scale as you run them on such a thing as opening procedure by duplication. You will also find them going through something like this when you remedy their havingness and so forth. But it's very, very pronounced in opening procedure by duplication. As this no down the mystery scale goes on down scale, it has harmonics. You could consider an enormous scale with no at its ultimate height and mystery at its lowest depths, and then take this scale and subdivide it into a number of sections. In any one of these sections, you would have a no to mystery scale. See, so it would be no down through mystery, no down through mystery, no down through mystery. Each one a little more solid and a little less comprehensible. And when you start to run opening procedure by duplication on somebody, it's an interesting fact that you'll see jump up these little things. Now, sometimes he doesn't run a whole scale. Sometimes when you start in, he'll simply hit parts of the lower harmonics as he comes up. He'll just hit the high spots. And you will discover him going through the motions, and he will all of a sudden say, "This, he's got a book and a bottle." This, by the way, holy, these duplication is known as book and bottle over in Great Britain. And he goes back and forth, and this pick up this book, and he will say, "It isn't anything you'd eat." Or he'll go over to the bottle, and he will say, "Well, I suppose you could say it has sexual connotations." And he will go over to the book a few more times across, and he will suddenly remark about the book, "Well, I'm looking at it." See? And you watch him a little further, and he will go up another set of harmonics. And he will say, "It's a mystery to me," or "Sure confusing. He asked me to describe it. I don't know what it is. It's a..." Get the idea? He's through the mystery end of it again. And he'd say, and next time he comes back to it, he's liable to say, well, if it had any good, juicy, risque stories in it, I might be more interested in it, you know. And then he'd come back and say, well, I don't know why you want me to do this. Any longer. He's hit the emotional band, see? Pang. And you'll just see him skipping right on up the scale, hitting the high spots of these scales. Of course, it takes a long time sometimes to grind him through. But nevertheless, what's he going through? What's he going through? Hey, one of the things he's going through is his willingness to have this thing. His willingness to touch it, his willingness to accept it. And all of the resistances he would have towards such a thing are being erected. The various resistances toward having it. All right. Now, if we say it is the no to mystery scale, that's simply to give you a guidepost. We might as well say that this was the no scale condensed. Follow me now. This is a very, very, very important thing. This is a discovery which practically winds up investigation. It produces processes which are so rugged that you can practically kill a preacher with it. Now, the no to mystery scale, or any such scale, or any gradient scale, is a knowingness scale. It is knowingness condensed. There is no such thing anywhere down the line. There is no such thing, actually, as no knowingness. There's actually no such thing as no knowingness at all. You don't get to an absolute. We know that absolutes are unobtainable. There's something that's incomprehensible. But look, that's a piece of knowingness too, isn't it? The fact that something is non-comprehensible is to know something about it. When you get clear down to the bottom of the scale, you still have knowingness. You know that it's, you know it's incomprehensible. All right. Then if this is a condensed scale, we would look for top-level knowingness to be a complete freedom. And then we would look for knowingness to condense into something which could be looked at or perceived in some fashion or another, or at least the idea of perception would enter in here. And as we would come down, we would find out that this sensation, this aliveness and so forth, would have taken on particles, lots of particles. And these are the particles of emotion. And then as we went on further, the particles of emotion would have become so heavy that you had effort or solid masses. And now having these solid masses, believing that they were too much to look at, too much to know about, one then thinks in order to know. Still workable, but you're still talking about knowingness. An emotion is an effort to communicate unknowingness. An effort is an action to communicate unknowingness. Thinking is an activity so as to ascertain unknowingness. Eating, believe it or not, is simply trying to know. Sex is to have something in the future to know about, or to be able to be there so that you would know. And mystery is something we might or might not care to know about. Now, the proof of any process is the processing. And we discover that condensation of knowingness actually explains the manifestations of a preclear, and you don't have to get as complicated even as the no to mystery scale to grasp this utterly. An individual who is shot by a bullet is given the information that he is injured or dead. All anyone is trying to communicate with a bullet is, you're dead. And it is an agreed upon pattern of knowingness which winds up with the conclusion, and you might say it's a mathematical equation, which ends up with the conclusion that the person is dead who has been shot at. The fellow recognizes that he has been shot, so now he is dead. There's many a man has walked around with all sorts of wounds and bullets in him who has neglected to notice that he was wounded. And when this was called to his attention, he promptly fell flat on his face. And there's many another fellow going around who has no wounds in him at all, who is lying there practically dead. And this is curious, isn't it? All right. It's not as curious as you think. What do you think your preclear is doing who has this tremendous fixed screen out there in front of him? Let's understand this from a standpoint of knowing. What's he doing with this screen? He's trying to keep from knowing. What would be a very, very good way to keep from being known and to keep from knowing anything? Well, a very good way to go about it would be to put up a black screen. Did you ever look in the darkness to discover something? Marked your shins, didn't you? People would rather not look in the darkness. So therefore, we have an individual who is afraid of being known or afraid of knowing, hiding himself in darkness. This is an oddity, and I would give you the standard scientific type of rendition on this if I were not in possession of the facts. Standard scientific rendition would be, well, it seems to us, with borne out by further conclusion, apology, that we don't think maybe that although Professor Umpjohn has stated, we're inclined to believe, if you excuse me, so we won't go into this scientifically, we'll go into it factually. And the facts of the case are simply this, that an individual tries harder and harder and harder to know and tries harder and harder to have something to know and at once gets into a mass state, a state of being mass, and examines masses. And the process involved with this is one of the more murderous processes. And it's right here on this morning's schedule of remedy of happiness. There are more ways this morning to remedy happiness than there have ever been before. I've known these facts here for some little time, but I've been engaged in looking over. And we discovered immediately that having a datum and having a mass are intimately related. So let's really go into remedy of havingness now. Do you ever know, have you ever run into a preacher who couldn't remedy his havingness? Well, I'll tell you why he couldn't remedy his havingness. Because he couldn't know. He didn't dare know. He just didn't dare know. Know what? There isn't anything to know. Unless it's mocked up first. But he has had too many people walk up to him, or he in a low word act motivator sequence has walked up to too many people and said, your papa is dead, or they told him your father is dead, or they said, you're expelled, or you're under arrest, or he's had some shocking pieces of information handed him, which meant he was going to lose his mock up and all that sort of thing, but this is a piece of knowingness now he mustn't have. And we get it mustn't happen again. This knowingness, this communication must not occur again. Whether it was a bullet or an operation or the fact that he flunked. You see, it was a datum he mustn't have again, and therefore he cannot have after that, he believes, inflow of information. Did you ever try to tell anybody anything who was a black 18? you say to him, say, fellow, you just dropped a lighted cigarette alongside of you. You'll have an argument on your hands. or silence or no attention whatsoever. You see, he can't receive that picture. Now, sometimes we find a preclear that is obsessive on this line, because you get the inversion. If he mustn't know long enough, he will get a craving to know. To know what? Nothing particular, just a craving to know. And you get somebody who is an avid reader of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Just reads, looks. So we get an anthropologist, a professor, something. He's got to know. Got to know what? Well, nothing particular. What's he going to do with it once he knows it? Nothing. And that's what a fellow in our boots finds peculiar about the society. Although somebody will study something, they don't do anything with it. Now, they're below the level, then, of action. You see, the only real reason you'd have anything to know about would be to have a game. Well, these people have gone down to the point where knowingness itself has become an end in itself. There's no further goal. We'll find this individual unable to remedy his havingness. Why? He is on the resistive, he's in the resistive category toward knowingness. Well, now let's recategorize knowingness and say, well, that window glass up there is knowingness, and that lamp is knowingness, and the floor is knowingness. In other words, this mock-up is knowingness. Just get the idea of being able to reevaluate everything in terms of knowingness. And we discover some very interesting material here. We find out that we can take the whole of the known mystery scale and remedy havingness with it in very peculiar ways. We could have somebody eat himself into a better tone. Their process preclear was hungry. Doesn't process well. Well, in psychoanalysis, they try to sexualize their patients into a better tone. But unfortunately, they don't eat, so of course they get stuck there at that level of the tone scale. And we have the libido theory and so forth. I'm just throwing that in as a snide remark, but it happens to be awfully true. If you don't believe it's true, read Freda Fromer Reichmann's. That's the way she pronounces it. Handbook for psychiatry. And you'll find out, paragraph after paragraph, it's saying, now boys, please leave your patients alone sexually. Try and find, please, some exterior outlet to your office. There must be some other method of this. It's a plea, the whole book is. Leave those patients alone sexually. Fascinating. You ought to get that book sometime. It'll die laughing. It is an expose of psychiatry that she never intended to write. All right, we go upscale a little bit, and we find this individual. Figure. Think. Build a univac, build a ENIAC, build a brain. What's the difference? Mock up a few machines out here. Figure. So what? So they can know something. Well, wait a minute. What is there to know? Something to know about, of course. But in order to have something to know about, you have to put something out there to know about. And there you have civilization. All right. If you're depending on your brain to tell you everything, you're in the category of somebody dependent on a machine to know about knowingness, but you as an individual are knowingness. You are resisting knowingness, maybe. Your own knowingness is being resisted around you, in one category or another. But at the same time, the interchange of communication and so forth is all based on this thing of knowingness. There's something to know. Something to know. Therefore, it's very, very difficult for you to go out into the society and run into a society which is entirely braced against knowing. That's cute, isn't it? You go out, your society is braced against knowing. Braced against knowing what? Anything. Why? It's all harmful. It's all bad. And now we get the fear merchant. We get the difference between bad and good. Actually, the real brace is against bad or destructive, or we will take what knowingness you have already assembled away from you. So, you know, when a fellow gets killed and forgets, he has merely assigned knowingness to such a degree to that body that when it goes, then he figures he must be dead too, and he has an amnesia. An amnesia between lives is fully as serious as somebody walking down the street and all of a sudden forgetting his name, and it's just as silly. It's just as silly to have amnesia of this character. Sort of a disease. All right? But this body is total knowingness. You see, this brain does all of his figuring. Genitals do all the sexual line. The stomach does all the eating. The muscles do all of the efforting. And the whole thing is a mystery anyway. He puts it up there for somebody to look at. You see? And it has emotion, and he's dependent upon other emotions, and his body's emotion, you see. He's using his eyes to look at things. So he's just assigned the whole no down to mystery scale to solidity. Well, this is good and certain, you see. I mean, a good piece of solidity. But at the same time, it certainly doesn't do anything for an awareness of awareness unit to assign the responsibility for knowing and not knowing to everything else except himself. So you get your highest level of responsibility. Now, how would you use these principles to remedy havingness? You say, what wouldn't you mind knowing? Something else you wouldn't mind knowing. Something else you wouldn't mind knowing. I'm running this process on you now. I'm up to present time. And that process then would, if what I say here is true, actually start an avalanche of havingness. See, if what I say is true, then this is what would happen on a pre-clear. That's what happens on a pre-clear. That's why we're not dealing with this scientifically this morning. We're dealing with it factually. Now, one of the fastest ways to remedy havingness I know of would be the equivalent of a straight wire question. It's a fast way to remedy it. You say, well, wouldn't you mind knowing? Any variation of it. What around here could tell you something you wouldn't mind knowing? See that? And you will find that everyone, the people who condemned him, his grandmother who hated him, his boss, and everybody else, you will find all up and down the track, were all insistent, if not completely monomaniac, on the subject of getting him informed. And when individuals around somebody fail to be able to inform him, you might as well say conform him to, and convince him of how bad it is. When they fail to convince him how bad it is, they have, if they are madmen, only one recourse left, and that's shooting. That will inform him. Your nuclear physicist today is in this frame of mind.
They won't listen to me, huh? Oh, hang on, then they all know.
Get the idea? Now, a writer starts in writing a book, not so much to inform, but to entertain. This is a much higher echelon of activity. Now, people don't buy his work. Nobody reads.
Very unsuccessful.
Next thing you know, he starts going into fact. And from fact, he will skid on through. You know, he starts writing articles and things. And from fact, why, he will skid on through down into the lower dregs and may, who knows, finally get into a category where he takes up pugilism. You know? That'll teach him. Now he'll know. I am informing him. Sock. Now, when two people are discussing this, first they try to be interesting. And if they cannot get into adequate communication, they have a tendency to sort of square off and get into the emotional band. And if one still cannot inform the other, and vice versa again, they're liable to wind up in blows, unless restrained by the police and so forth. You might say the police are an agent in activity which keep people from knowing. All right. Then, if you understand that your preclear is resisting knowingness in whatever form, visual, emotional, solid, speculative, eating, sex, and mystery, or is collecting knowingness in whatever form, you know, that's just an inversion on the same line. He's caved in, it's become obsessive. Both of them, neither one of them self-determined. Then you will understand that you, in auditing him, are trying to bring him to know something about himself. And he is sitting there, well entrenched, and completely fortified against knowing anything whatsoever about himself. So that you, as an auditor, try and get somebody to know something about himself. Actually, the only field of communication which has probably ever been workable are just two. The two fields of communication. The field of communication of the arts are quite workable. You know, painting, music, that sort of thing. Relatively meaningless communication, highly imaginative, and Dianetics and Scientology. You can actually inform somebody with Dianetics and Scientology. You can take every single barrier he's got and tear it up and throw it away. The only reason you can do it at all is because he winds up better off when you've done it. So therefore, it's a communicating subject. We have a subject here that can communicate. By putting a person into a position where he can receive and give knowingness, we have put him in good shape, because that's all the shape there is, to give and receive knowingness. All right, remedy of havingness, then, should be understood with brilliant clarity by you. It's simply, what is a fellow willing to know? If you get your preclear high enough up tone, he'd also be willing to know a bullet. Gotcha? So certainly, he's willing to know a mock-up or an energy mass that he mocked up, isn't he? All right, let's look over this and understand that the field of imagination is far superior to the field of fact. And the two are not divorced or different, but are themselves a gradient scale. Imagination is manufactured knowingness, and fact is solidified and agreed upon knowingness. Follow me? Therefore, in view of this discovery, it can be ascertained that fact was once imagination, and that imagination will explode any fact, and is the only weapon which is entirely proof and entirely effective against fact. There is the fact that you're a dog, that you're no good, and that you are not powerful. You see, there are a lot of people around who will give you that fact. They really drive that fact home. You see, a lot of people. You realize that that's the product somewhere on the track of somebody's imagination. Imagination undoes fact. It undoes solid objects as far as that's concerned. So we can say immediately about a person who cannot create that he cannot imagine. And we can say immediately about a person who cannot remedy happiness that he cannot create and that he cannot imagine. Because he's waiting for the fact of havingness to smack him, and the only thing that will ever hit him is complete fancy. And when you become well enough acquainted with that wall over there and that floor, you will find out they're made up of complete fabricated fancy, thoroughly agreed upon. That doesn't make them any the less real, because that's all the reality there is. But you, through imagination, should be able to create reality. Thus we find that straight wire question, which I gave you the other day, if you remember it, the straight wire question. I said it fitted right into straight wire. It was a stringing a straight line. I didn't mean to tell you that elementary straight wire should not be practiced on something you wouldn't mind remembering, something you wouldn't mind forgetting. But I did tell you that right in that battery was another process, which was the same process, cause to effect, straight wire. The fact that there is a factual past is merely the fact that past can be agreed upon. You might as well have an entirely fanciful past. So the technique which goes along with this elementary straight wire would be, tell me some lies about your past. Quite an interesting process, but it just, what does it do? You've got all these factors and machines which are trying madly to agree with this fancy that your preclear keeps spewing out. And these machines pop up and can't get a complete agreement and flop. And it just puts his machinery and so forth in apathy. You're making him create something to know. And that is mind's highest function, to create something to know. And he has gone upon a very definite, agreed-upon pattern, however, of things he knows. We have scouted those and outlined them in Dianetics and Scientology. When we get all through outlining them, we find out that these are the fixed, agreed-upon things which he thinks he knows and which are facts to him. They're not facts, really, but fancies. The difference between fact and fancy is the agreement upon it. So therefore, the remedy of havingness would depend to a great deal upon the person's ability to imagine. So we could remedy havingness by simply saying, let's dream up some facts somebody else might want you to know. You see that? Just dream up some facts somebody else might want you to know. Let's dream up some facts for somebody else to know. You recognize this as part and parcel of remedy of havingness? Remedy of havingness is condensed knowingness. A Thetan likes to have a condensed piece of knowingness. It gives him a gain. If he doesn't have it, if he can't make it up, he can't have a gain. So therefore, your preclear's got to be able to remedy havingness. Today, we can make it possible for a preclear to remedy havingness with any one of a number of phrases, but the one which I would call to your attention as intensely workable and yet very, very simple would be giving something you wouldn't mind knowing. This is very straight. Give me something you wouldn't mind knowing. Tell me something else you wouldn't mind knowing. Something else. Something else. Something else. You could even vary it and say something else you wouldn't mind being informed of. And the next thing you know, you say, mark up a planet and pull it in, or anything like this. Now, you see why remedy of havingness is quite a process, or a test process. It's quite a test process because it tells you just exactly what the preclear can and can't do. A person who can remedy havingness is above 3.0 on the tone scale. A person who cannot remedy havingness is below 3.0 on the tone scale. And that tells you what this person is willing to know and not to know.
Now you get the process, of course, the remedy of having is to mop up something and pull it in, mop up something and pull it in, mop up something and pull it in. Okay, that doesn't have to be any big significance to this. And remember, your preacher's got to be pretty well off before he can do that. If you could do that all the way, he'd blow his whole engram bank. That's why it's important. See, if you could get him to remedy having this completely, he would let go of these oddities and so forth to a very marked degree. He would supplant and change over and convert energies. Convert knowingness, as you might say. All right? Therefore, in the interest of getting him to do that, you should pay very particular and close attention to the fact that it is knowingness which is involved. It is a very interesting thing that people who are pretty low on the tone scale actually get into having this as the only kind of knowingness they really could have. So knowingness actually both at once, you might say, higher and lower than actual mass. But mass could be knowingness because mass is knowingness. See? So pulling in masses, just pulling in masses. If it can't be done, or if you want the preacher to do it better, would be aided, abetted, assisted, even started by asking him, give me some things you wouldn't mind knowing. Point some things out that you wouldn't mind knowing about. The next thing you know, you'll be able to remedy his happiness. Remedy of happiness is simply this one thing. Is your preclear willing to know, or isn't he? Some preclears are willing even to know in terms of masses. And some can only know in terms of a datum. But is your preclear willing to know, or isn't he? If he's completely willing to know, he can, of course, remedy happiness. Like mad. It's terrific. You'd probably see it if you were really willing to know. If you were not willing to know, it would just stay a dark screen and some shadowy thing that he said might be there creeps up to the screen and is absorbed by it. And he says he's remedying that. Get the difference? He's protecting himself from knowing. Now, y'all straight on this? This look a little cleaner and clearer to you? All right. Now, do you see why it is sometimes difficult to study such a subject as Dianetics and Scientology? You get why this would be. In the first place, I'm not on a manic that you guys have got to know, or you'd be trained in an entirely different method. Now, here's your basic. Of course, that people should find out about this. It starts a new game. That's really the trick of what I'm interested in. If you want to really know the basic motive, this outflow of information, it's not so much the information that's desirable, it's a game. All right, let's look this over and see if you can see some examples of this around in your environment. And as you're processing preclears and so forth in each other, let's see if you can add up this willingness to know and the ability of the preclear to receive and reject things. In other words, accept and reject things and so on. It's a direct coordination. Most of your preclears that you'll run into are a fixed knowingness. They know they're John Jones. They are very fixed in their knowingness. And to try to change their knowingness would be almost impossible, and yet their whole happiness and ability depends utterly upon their ability to change their knowingness. The game you play with the preclear is you say, well, I've got to change your knowingness to make you well, because making you well is a better knowingness, that's all. And he's saying, no, I'm not going to learn a thing. That's the whole contest as far as you're concerned. Okay, let's see you use this in some processing, particularly if you're preclear having any difficulty, giving some things you wouldn't mind knowing, and see how this adds up and integrates straight into the remedy of happiness. Yes?
I wonder at what process level you would use that. That is, would you use that as part of your remedy of happiness, or could you use it in elementary straight wire?
You could use it in elementary straight wire, and if you could get through to the fellow at all, two-way communication. This is quite a remarkable process.
since it's just it's a shotgun process. It is murders as a process. But it doesn't seem to have any heady levels or anything. It guns right on through, in other words.
How about the negative side?
You don't have to work. Well, wouldn't you mind knowing? Invent something to know is another way of running it. Tell me some lies. Start lying. These are all various methods of getting the guy to know something, you know. A fellow who won't lie has to have the fact presented to him by life before he can know it. Ooh, isn't that rough? The whole society frowns upon lying because there'd be more knowingness than anybody could ever agree on if we all knew. Okay. I held here. It's 11:15. I hope you haven't minded. Okay.